With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, and as promised, he is Tim Brando, college football broadcast for Fox Sports. He'll be on the call this weekend for Wisconsin-Iowa. That should be a good one. He joins us now. Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm great. I'm here in Madison, Madtown, and it'll be my first game to ever do at Camp Randall, so I'm stoked. And there's a hell of a lot at stake. I mean, a lot at stake because the winner of this game still gets to play Minnesota, and provided Penn State beats them, then the winner of this matchup still has a chance to go to the Big Ten title game and an opportunity at the Rose Bowl. So, and it's a trophy game. You know, the Heartland Trophy goes back to 1894, so in this 150th year of college football, it's a great rivalry game. Unfortunately, we're on opposite LSU Alabama, so some people will have to tune in during commercial breaks or long officials reviews. But such is the life we lead in the college football playoff era, where the only thing that matters is who's in, not major matchups that have historical meaning in a lot of parts of the country. But we're no less excited for it. And I know the fans here are pumped up. It'll be jam-packed, and they'll be playing jump around before the teams come on the field. I was just at the stadium yesterday, and they were bulldozing the ice and snow off of the field from the major storm that came through here earlier in the week. So we got Big Ten football weather, too, so yeah. It'll be fun.
Tim, you've been doing this a long time, over three decades. I'm 43 years old. I grew up on your call. There's no question about it. You telling me you hadn't been to Camp Randall? I can't imagine there aren't many places that you've been everywhere is where it feels like.
Well,
haven't been to Camp
Randall,
huh?
Now, about 20-plus of those 34 years, so I'm into my fourth decade, but about 20-plus of those 34 years, I was exclusively SEC.
SEC, yes, sir.
You know, with the Raycom Jefferson Pilot early games, and then at CBS, and obviously a lot of those years at CBS, I was primarily in the studio, not at stadiums. In fact, the majority of the stadiums I visited were when I was working at ESPN in the 80s, pre-game day,
right.
Pre-college game day, in the mid-80s, before we started college game day in 87. And then in 89 and 90, I left the studio and went out and did games for them, so... Yeah, there are quite a few bucket list stadiums out there that I have still not visited. But one of the great things about the Fox contract is that they have the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the Big 12. And I get to go to places that I, you know, and until a couple of years ago, I'd never done a game at the Big House.
That explains
now
it.
Now I've been to Ann Arbor several times. I still haven't done a game at the Rose Bowl, which I'd really love to do. I've not done a game at the Horseshoe, which I'd really love to do. So there are a few of them out there that I'd still like to take in. I've been to Madison many times for basketball, and I've visited Camp Randall, but I've never called a game. So, you know, it's nice at this stage of my life to say I have a first. You know? So
absolutely.
I get a little excited whenever I have that opportunity.
No doubt. As you know, Tim, huge news this morning in the Big Ten. One of the best players in college football, the most dominant player in college football, Chase Young, is going to miss the Maryland game and could be facing more games. We shall see. It's probably obvious, but I have to ask, how much of a blow is this for Ohio State?
Well, it won't show up in this game because Maryland's awful. Mm-hmm. They got problems, especially from an offensive standpoint. It's, you know, it's kind of a shame because at the beginning of the year, they were lighting up the scoreboard, and then I went in to do the game with Penn State, and they were so pumped up for that game. I think it was the biggest game in Maryland in maybe two decades, and they got hammered. They got shut out, and it hasn't looked very good since then. So it won't affect them in this game, and actually that's the game that precedes us on Fox is Maryland and Ohio State. But it will have a huge lingering effect on them defensively in the aftermath of that. The Michigan game especially, I think, will be impacted by it. If he's out, you know, we don't know yet, but, you know, we'll have to see. And I think that we can rule out any conversation about the Heisman now. You know, there was some growing conversation about a possible run at the Heisman Trophy for him, and I think this will squash any thoughts of that being the case.
Your thoughts on this Minnesota team? That's obviously, I mean, it's a battle of undefeateds at this point. I'm not sure how many of us thought Minnesota would be 8-0 going into this one, hosting Penn State. Your thoughts on this Minnesota team and their chances this weekend?
Well, because they're at home and because they're on a roll, and I think they've steadily improved as the season's gone on, I think they've got a great chance. Now, the problem they don't have anyone that can light up the scoreboard, a dynamic player that is going to, you know, they don't have a K.J. Hamler
right. Like
Penn State has a K.J. Hamler. But they have really good running backs, and their quarterback has done a tremendous job of not turning the ball over, managing the game the way P.J. Fleck wants. And their defense is really good, very underrated, quick. Linebackers are very fast. You can't really get to the edge on them. They're not giving up the big plays that they gave up early in the year. And the interesting thing about Minnesota, and one of the reasons I think it's been easy for people to sleep on them a little, is because of the way their season started. They almost lost to South Dakota State.
That's true.
In their opener.
Yep.
Now, South Dakota State is really good. You know, they are a top-notch FCS team. But still, they almost lost at home. Then they almost lost at Fresno right after that. And they've consistently improved and gotten better with every game that's been played since then. And I think that's the thing that jumps out at me, is that I think their best game is still in front of them. You know, they've not peaked.
Interesting.
But I think the matchup with Penn State's going to be tough, because Shepard's done a great job of filling the void left by McSorley. Then you add to that the Hamler factor. They have a committee of backs. No one that's as good as Barkley, but they have a committee of backs that I think have done a really nice job for James Franklin. But I think it's going to be a hell of a game. A game that we're going to be certainly keeping an eye on as we prepare to go on the air. And the outcome of the game is going to really impact, because I mentioned it impacts our game, because if Minnesota loses, it opens the door for the winner of our game in the Big Ten West.
Sure does.
But a little bit like Baylor, you know, Minnesota, most people couldn't name one player on their team because they get no coverage. And it's been a source of great concern for me. If you follow me on Twitter, you've seen what I've written, and you know how I feel about the way college football is not being covered from a national standpoint anymore. We can label a team not worthy by simply saying, well, FPI says they only have a 2% chance of making the playoffs, so why bother with spending any time talking about Charlie Brewer and the job he's done for Matt Rhule? I saw Baylor with my own eyes, and they're damn good.
Yeah. Now,
people say, well, they barely beat West Virginia. Well, okay, yeah, everybody's not going to play their best every week. Baylor's really good. And by the way, Oklahoma needs them to be good and needs them to beat TCU this week for Oklahoma to have any path to getting back into the chase for the college football playoff.
We are, of course, talking to Tim Brando of Fox Sports. He'll be on the call this weekend for Wisconsin-Iowa. I'm sure you saw this last night, the reports from NFL Network, Tim, that Deion Sanders has emerged as a candidate for the Florida State head coaching job. Best I can tell, I've only seen that reporting from the NFL Network. I don't think I've seen it from anybody else. Do you buy this whatsoever, that Deion Sanders has emerged as a candidate for the job?
Well, I mean, I'm not. Would you be shocked?
You're kicking around, right, Tim?
I wouldn't be shocked if his name came up.
Right.
But I would be shocked if it went any further than that.
Well, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And here's why I wouldn't. The athletic department is in shambles. They have and the AD is a bean counter. He's a financial guy. From the moment they ran Bobby Bowden out on a rail a year before Bobby Bowden wanted to go, you know, even before Jimbo took over and got a national championship, in large measure because of the single individual talents of Jameis Winston, the reality is they were the boosters and the ones, the donors, the boosters with money, okay, were running that program. That's a scary thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why the so-called big-name coaches that you've heard, whether it was Urban Meyer or Bob Stoops, they scoff at those reports. They're like, well, are you kidding me? I'm not going to work there. Did you see the way they treated Bobby Bowden? But coaches don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bobby wanted to stay one more year, and he had a good team returning, and everybody knew it. And they wouldn't let him. And only a few years ago did those same boosters reach out and say, hey, coach, we are bad. We're going to pay you $250,000 a year for the rest of your life. Would you be an ambassador for us? So it was kind of a make-good check after after they treated him the way they did. So, you know, with all that in mind, and the fact that they could cobble together the $20 million to get Taggart out of there, who's to say that they couldn't say, hey, Deion, come on over? And yeah. We've seen this happen in basketball, by the way, when Clyde Drexler was hired at Houston. You know, Clyde's a star. Well, he'll bring back Fly Slamma Jamma. How did that work out?
Not well.
And I'm not saying that Deion couldn't get it done. Deion's a great teacher. Deion would be an incredible recruiter. But what I'm saying to you is I'm not surprised, nor will I be, if there's some modicum of truth to it.
Penny Hardaway is another sort of example there, but I would say, because I've seen some people in Memphis sort of try to make the comparison, but Penny Hardaway had recruiting ties to a class that ended up being number one in the nation.
And exactly, already coaching as well.
Unless Deion has that, I would wager against it working.
Well, it may not, but it may. You know, what I'm saying to you is, I'm not surprised that this story is surfacing, because I don't think legitimate, big-time head coaches view Florida State as a good job anymore.
Interesting.
That's what I'm saying.
I got to ask you, LSU-Alabama, how do you see it? If Tua is relatively healthy, how do you see it?
I see a very close game. First one to 35 wins.
Mm.
I think it might take 40 to 45 to win. I think LSU will score, and I think that they will have a great opportunity of winning. And the odds are that it's maybe their turn, and particularly if Tua is not at his at his best.
Right.
Alabama's defense is more exploitable now than it's ever been, and LSU's offense is the most transformational in one season I think I've ever seen with my own eyes. I think the key in the game will be, how does Tua respond to his first hit?
Yep.
You know, what kind of impact will it have if he's scurrying out of the pocket or stepping up in the pocket and somebody hits him and he comes down the wrong way on that on that ankle? Now, the ankle is not the plant ankle, but it's the one he pushes up. It's not the push-off ankle, but it's the one in front of him. And, you know, there's a tenderness, and I think probably to some extent, mentally, there's got to be a feeling of, well, okay, we're into this, but we also have a future, you know, in his mind,
right,
his family's mind, and everybody's mind.
Right.
So how does he react the first time he's hit?
Yeah. And
as long as he's clean, if he stays clean, then Alabama's in great shape. But you'd like to think, and I believe Dave Aranda, the defensive coordinator for LSU, who has struggled to get a pass rush, the good news for Alabama is the defensive front for LSU is not their strength.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to blitz safeties and linebackers to get pressure, which I'm assuming that they will do. But let me give you the final analysis, and that is this. This garbage you've been hearing about, if Alabama loses, they're out, that is a crock. That is a complete crock, okay? Alabama will never fall precipitously, never. They've got the biggest brand in college football. LSU could very easily go in and win this game by 3 or 6 or 10, and have to beat them again, because Alabama gets to play Auburn, and if they play Auburn and beat them, and there's some carnage in front of them, which there easily could be, teams in front of them like after they fell. Let's say Alabama lost, they fall to 6th or 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And now those teams in front of them could easily lose during the holidays around Thanksgiving weekend. And no team is going to bolt back up into the top 4 any quicker than Alabama. So if it's a narrow loss for Alabama or for LSU, the potential of those two being forced to meet again in the championship is real. And by the way, I sincerely hope it happens. because if you want to get this expansion thing going, two things have to happen. Either LSU and Alabama play a close game, and both of them are playing again in the college football championship, just as they did in 2011. Mm-hmm. That pissed off college football's governing body enough to get us away from the godforsaken BCS. Without that game in 2011, we wouldn't have had a playoff.
Yep.
All right. And the other thing that could happen that could force it to eight would be leaving Alabama out. Okay. Leaving Alabama out of the college football playoff.
You're probably right.
Oh, my God. There would be, in some corners of the country, gnashing of teeth, the likes of which we've never seen.
Oh, Nick could push the button.
That's the best way for expansion to take place.
Well, that would be certainly good news here in this market, Tim, because if you look at what's happening in the city of Memphis, it's unprecedented. Just the story of this football team here in Memphis. They end SMU's undefeated streak. They had their first sellout since 2015. They didn't even need the help of the SEC to help fill the arena and the stadium. Just how about the story of Memphis, Tim, and the job that Mike Norvell has done here?
Well, how about the name that Fuentes had created for himself at Memphis?
No doubt.
And then, I mean, he was the hottest coach in the country, was he not?
He was. He truly was. Yeah.
All right. And how did that work out? It's a little different when you go to Blacksburg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is. And you have to play in the ACC on a weekly basis. And by the way, I love Fuentes. I do. He did a lot for Memphis. But Norvell, I knew when he was working as the OC at Arizona State, I knew he was a star in waiting to be the head coach. It says a lot about Memphis. It says a lot about the American Conference that they continue to produce great teams, multiple great teams every year, and they don't get a sniff. You know, they might as well be in witness protection just like Baylor and Minnesota because they're not a big brand. Not for college football. And it's horrible. I mean, what's happening in college football now with this whole who's in marketing campaign of the college football playoff? And it was their idea, by the way. It was Bill Hancock and those guys' idea that they were going to do this. And it has ruined the regular season of college football. And I hear people say, well, you know, we can't dilute the regular season. Well, dilute the regular season? Could we do without the Clemson-Wofford game? I think we could. Could we do without Western Carolina and Alabama next week? I think we could. I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Teams like Memphis and SMU and UCF that have consistently shown that the American Conference can deliver better teams than either the ACC or in some years, maybe not this year, in some years, the Pac-12, deserve a chance. And right now we don't have that. And it's fundamentally wrong. Everything about it is wrong.
Yeah, well, we certainly agree here in Memphis. Tim, this was awesome. Thank
it's
you so much for
pleasure,
the time.
Sir. Thank you.
Happy to be with you guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
He is Tim Brando from Fox Sports. Certainly a legendary sports broadcaster, college football commentator. He's been around for a long time. Like you said, four decades. So awesome to get him on the show today.
No question about it. Sounds like he doesn't like your man Fuente.
No, he doesn't.
And sounds like he doesn't believe in me and Farnbaum's opinion that this will be it for Alabama should they lose.
Oh, no, he definitely disagrees.
I just felt like if I challenged him on that one.
It would have gotten ugly.
Don't you think so?
I think it might have gotten ugly. But anyway.
And he is a legend in my eyes. I grew up on him, listening to SEC.
That's right. You know, when your idols become your rivals, you know.
I didn't want to inform him he's going to be wrong.
All right. We will come back.
Might
Jason
be right.
And John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.